Let's turn together to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We will be continuing the series because of the gospel this morning. I pray that this series has been as much of a blessing to you as it has been to me. It has been a great blessing to be able to prepare and to look at the gospel in a perhaps a little different way than I have before. The gospel of Christ is such an inexhaustibly wonderful thing. It really is. And it is because our God and His Christ are in themselves inexhaustibly wonderful. They are. And His gospel is glorious. I believe we will soon be drawing to the end of this series. But today I want us to consider another aspect and blessing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly to us as believers, though this message is for you. If you are an unbeliever also, you will, the gospel itself, we're not just going to talk about the gospel, we're going to see the gospel itself. It will be declared here, and you need the gospel, whoever you are. Every single one of us in this building and wherever across the world this message may go, we need the gospel desperately. May the Lord bring it effectually to us this morning. I want to begin by asking us all some questions. First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Have you heard His gospel? Have you heard, we could say, His voice, as we read this morning in Sunday school class, like the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul heard His voice. Have you heard His voice? Do you know Him? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? Your only Savior? Is He your Savior? Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Do you want to serve Him? Do you really want to serve Him? Do you want to honor Him with your life? Do you really? Do you want to be like Him? Do you want to be like Him? You understand, that is the end. All the means come to that end. That being like Christ is the only way that any of us will enter into the presence of the Most Holy God. That's the reason He's put us in Christ. Do you want to be like Him? You say, yes, yes, yes and yes. Well then, we need to know that there is a way that this can happen. There's a way that these things can happen. As a matter of fact, there's only one way that this can happen. And Christ Himself actually reveals that one way to be like Christ, that one way, very, very plainly to us in His Word. Let's read about it. In Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, we're going to jump into the context here, but the actual verses we'll be looking at are a little further on, but just for contextual purposes, let's begin in verse 18. Luke 9 and verse 18. And it came to pass, as He was alone, His disciples were with Him, and He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And He straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now here we go. Verse 23. Notice what it says. And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, if any man desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Now listen, whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of Me and of My words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He shall come in His own glory and in His Father's glory and of the holy angels. The Lord teaches us here. He clearly instructs us that we have this clear declaration of Christ that the one way to truly love your Lord, and that's what Christ is, your Lord, the one way to truly love Him and serve Him and honor Him and follow Him, be like Him. That's what it means to follow Him, to be like Him. One way to be like Him and to follow Him is to take up your cross daily. That's what God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, reveals to us. We must take up our cross daily if we will follow Him, if we desire to come after Him. We will take up our cross daily. And you say, oh, yes, I do. I carry that cross around with me everywhere I go. Oh, I mean, this cross is so heavy. It's so burdensome. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it's talking about. He's telling us, Christ is telling us that if we love Him and want to serve Him and follow Him, we must really be like Him. We must really follow Him and die the death He died. To take up your cross does not mean that you're going to carry it around. To take up your cross means you're going to die on it. There's nothing but death about the cross. Listen, that cross is not something that we should hold up, and the cross, the T-bar, the pole, the tree is not something that we should hold up and worship. It's not, all the world religion, and especially the Catholicism, has made an idol out of this T-bar. Listen, that cross is all about death. That cross is all about, it's not just the cross, it's Christ's cross. Christ's cross. When He says for us to take up our cross, He's talking about dying on that cross. Dying daily in these bodies and in this world. We are to die the death of the cross every day. Every day. The title of this morning's message is, Because of the Gospel, I Can Die. Child of God, repeat that with me. Because of the Gospel, I can die. I can die. Now, let me just say this as we begin, especially for the children, but not necessarily for the children. I'm not talking about physical death. Although sometimes it leads to that. It does. What I'm talking about here is Milton Vincent said it like this, and I'll just read you something he said about the subject. He said, this is the dying on the taking up your cross that this scripture and Christ is talking about. When my flesh yearns for some prohibited thing, I must die. When called to do something I don't want to do, I must die. When I wish to be selfish and serve no one, I must die. When shattered by hardships that I despise, I must die. When wanting to cling to wrongs done against me, or words said against me, I must die. When enticed by allurements of the world, I must die. When wishing to keep besetting sins secret, I must die. When wants that are borderline needs are left unmet, I must die. When dreams that are good seem shoved aside, I must die. That's the death that we are talking about. That's the death of taking up our cross every day. Because of the gospel, I can die. Now, let's consider the cross. Let's consider this morning the death of Christ that we might understand the cross of our own death. Okay? First and foremost, as we look at the death of Christ and the cross of Christ, and we try to discern what that was. What was Christ's death all about? We must know, because that is our death. He's saying, look, if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to really be like me. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to really follow me. Really like, it's much more than work. You know, and I know we come together and we got our suits and we're ties nice and dressed and everything's pretty and everything's in order. We sing this many songs, we say these things, we preach everything, you know, we keep that thing in order. I'm not saying anything that's wrong, but listen, salvation to salvation. And our lives are not like that, are they? They're upside down. They're all over the place. It's hard. Salvation of sinners like us is not something that's clean and orderly. Salvation, church and church work is dirty work. Because we're dealing with dirty people, sinners. It's dirty. So let's consider the cross of Christ for a moment. First and foremost, the death of Christ was a death of submission. A death of obedience. A death of submission. Listen to Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, when Christ cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. To do thy will, O God. The death of Christ was first and foremost. Christ was acting in obedience to His Father's will. We've been saying a lot and talking a lot, preaching a lot about obedience. Obedience over sacrifice. And that's exactly what that passage teaches. Sacrifice is nothing. Sacrifice is vain. Sacrifice is sin without obedience. It's dead religion without obedience. First and foremost, Christ's death was a death of submission, a death of obedience. The whole volume of this book, in the whole of this book, it tells the glorious story of how God has chosen, amazingly, wonderfully, how God has chosen to save a people for His name's sake. And to do that, He sent His only begotten Son to be their Savior. And His Son, that Savior, He bowed to His Father's will. He left the splendor of heaven bowing to His Father's will. He left the continual praise of angelic hosts bowing to His Father's will. He submitted Himself to His Father's will completely. Thy will, O God. Thy will. Not my will, He said in that subordinate office of Savior. He said, not my will be done, but Thine be done. Thine be done. Even though the Father's will was that God would become a man, yet He bowed. Yet He was obedient. Even though His Father's will was that He would live as a man and suffer as a man and die as a man, yet Christ the Son, the faithful Son, the obedient Son was faithful. And He was obedient to do Thy will, O God. His death, Christ's death, was a death of submission, was a death of obedience to the Lord Jehovah, the God of heaven and earth. So Christ is really saying here in our text, if we will really follow Him, then die daily the death of obedience to your God. We must die the death of obedience to our God. No more is your will primary. Child of God, if you will follow God, your will no longer be primary. No longer will your life be yours. If you will follow Christ, your Savior, no longer will your life be yours. No more will it be what I think. Well, I just think you must die. We must die. This is so important. We want to do so much, and I'm talking about religion. We want to do so many things and be so religion, and all of that, and every bit of that is vain and sin without obedience. Obedience first. We must die the death of submission. Second, the death of Christ was a death of self-sacrifice. Wednesday night I mentioned the infinite value of our salvation. Do we really realize how God Himself sacrificed? How much He sacrificed to give us His salvation? How much He sacrificed to save us? To save us, children of God. He had to give His only begotten Son. That's how much He so loved us. that He would give His own Son. And then God in flesh had to sacrifice His body and even His soul to save us. You understand? God in the flesh sacrificed His body and His soul to save us. He died both physically and spiritually to save us. In Hebrews 9 and verse 6 it says, "But now once in the end of the world hath Christ, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." By the sacrifice of Himself. This word here, sacrifice, means to slaughter. Literally, it says He slaughtered Himself. What did Abraham tell Isaac? He would provide Himself a lamb. And that's exactly what He did. That's exactly what He did. I know we want to think of the Christian life as easy, pie-in-the-sky living. And for 200 years, it's been pretty easy. But it may, if that hasn't been the norm, no, not for the Lord's people. No, not since the beginning of, since the first century. No, it hasn't been pie in the sky at all. It's been pain. It's been sorrow. I know we might think this is the norm, and we want to move away from everything that's painful for us. We want to move away from everything that's uncomfortable for us. And people, even religion, even Christian preachers tell us about this Christian life that it must be easy or it's not from God. That's heresy. It's blasphemy. Tell that to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nothing easy about His life. Listen, what is it to live a Christian life? We say, all of them, we say, oh, I'm a Christian. What does that word mean? It means to be Christ-like. It means to be Christ-like. Are we Christ-like? Are we ready to be Christ-like? If you will follow me, He says, die daily. Take up your cross and die on it daily. Look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. There was nothing easy about His life. There was nothing painless about His life. Scripture calls Him the man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He said, I'm a worm and no man, through prophecy. His life was about suffering. Suffering. The death of the cross, your cross, saint, if you will truly follow Christ, is not easy. It's not painless. It's not comfortable. It's brutal. It's agonizing. It is a slaughtering of yourself. It is a slaughtering of your old man. It is a slaughtering of your man of sin. It is a slaughtering of that old will and its desires and its affections. It is a slaughtering, a self-slaughtering of that. Now, we're not without help, but it is a self-slaughtering of that. We are to die the death of Christ. If we are to take His cross, we will sacrifice ourselves. We will sacrifice, we will slaughter, we will crucify ourselves. Child of God, give your life over. It's not yours. It's not yours any longer. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. Give your life, give your will, give your desires over. Lay them down and follow your Savior. Follow your Savior. Thirdly, Christ died a death of submission and sacrifice, and also the death of Christ on the cross was the death of substitution. Substitution. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For He, God, hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us, to be sin instead of us, though He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In Titus 2 and verse 13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." The Lord Jesus submitted Himself to the Father's will and sacrificed Himself for others. For you and me. child of God. For others, instead of others, instead of us, He sacrificed Himself so that we would not have to in that sense. Or we couldn't. We didn't have the ability to do what He did to purify us. He lived, the Lord Jesus Christ lived under the restraints of the law, even though He was perfect, even though He was sinless, yet He lived under the restraints of the law for us as our substitute. He lived under, He endured the misery of a body, even though He was God. He endured the misery of the body, even though He was God, for us, in our place. He took that body for us, child of God. He suffered at the hands of wicked men and endured all of their abuse, even though He did not even deserve even a single word of their mistreatment. Yet He suffered. Didn't deserve a word of their mocking and their jeering, let alone their depraved brutality. He did all of that. All of it. He endured it all in the place of another. Your place and in my place. Brothers and sisters, will we give our life for another? Will we give our life for a spouse? Well, you say, oh, yeah. Will we? Will we give our life for our children? Oh, absolutely. Will we? Will we? Will we give our life for a fellow church member? Will we give our life for a co-worker? Will we give our life for a schoolmate? Will we give our life for a stranger on the street? Will we? Will we give our life for others, even though it may call us to suffer abuse, even though it may cause us to suffer ridicule, even though it may cause us to suffer slander to do it? Will we still give our life, even though it may cause that slander and that abuse that may come to us from the very one that we're giving our life from? Will we still give our life? Will we? Will we know what Christ meant when He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Will we be able to identify with that? If we're suffering His cross, we will. I guarantee you we will. If we will follow our Savior, if we will be truly a true Christian, Christ-like, we will. We'll die a death for another. We'll die a death for others. He surely did in His death, and He says to us, to you and to me, child of God, die like me every day. Die like me. Christ died a death of submission, a death of sacrifice, a death of substitution. Fourthly, the Lord Jesus, His death was a death died because of sin. Because of sin. We've already read several verses where God's Word proclaimed that He died to put away sin. His death was a death died because of sin. Servant of Christ, will we die to put away sin? Will we die to put away sin? Will we give up our rights, so-called? Our so-called rights, and climb up on that cross every day and die to self and die to the desires of self, the desires of this flesh, and put away the sin in our life. Will we? And even in the life of others? Will we? Will we die to the death of you? Well, people won't like me much if I expose their sin. What if they die in them if you don't? I understand God's sovereignty. I understand man's responsibility. Let's just consider man's responsibility. Let us just be honest. We cannot follow Christ. We cannot die the death that He died to put away all the sin of all of His people. He came and died to save us from our sin, you see. We cannot die the death that He died. We cannot follow Him. We cannot love Him. We cannot serve Him. We cannot be like Him, harboring our sin. We cannot be like Him and love Him, loving our sin more than we love Him. We cannot serve Him and be like Him and follow Him being satisfied with our sin. What if Christ was satisfied with our sin? We cannot serve Him being rebellious, living in rebellion in our lives. You cannot. You cannot serve Him. You cannot be like Him, appeasing the sin of our families and our friends just so that they will like us. I'm not talking about being mean and cruel. I'm talking about declaring the Word of God to your family, to your children, to your loved ones, to those that the Lord will bring into your life simply in love because you care for their soul enough to die for them. Enough to die to your daily sin and rebellion and waywardness to give yourself for them. That's what it's talking about here. The Lord Jesus died because He hated sin. You know that? He died because He hated sin. If we will truly follow Him, we must as well. We must die the death that He died every day to put away sin. Every day. We need it every day, don't we? Children of God. You who are without sin, the Scripture calls you a liar. We need it every day. We need to die every day to put away sin. If we are to die the death of our Savior, then we must die this death to put away sin. And then number five, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, died. His death, His cross, was for sinners. For sinners. Yes, He became a substitute. Yes, He died to put away sin, but we can say that and escape and miss just how personal His death was. He died for sinners. It was read this morning, 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Paul was saying there, He died for me. I am the chief of sinners and He died for me. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, He did not die a generic death. He died a personal death. He knew the sinners intimately that He died for. That's what the words that words like foreknowledge and foreknew meant. Not that just He knew them through His knowledge, but that He knew those that were His people. Husband and wives, you husband and wives here today, how intimately do you know your spouse? That's how intimately God knows you. Same words are used. That's how intimately He knows you. That's how intimately Christ knows His children. That's how intimately Christ knew us, those He died for. He knew us intimately. He knew us when Christ was on the cross. He was on that cross. You personally and intimately were on His mind. You were His. You are His. And He was there because of you. You. He was there instead of you, personally. Personally. Now, we did not deserve such a Savior. We did not deserve His salvation. We were sinners. We had offended the righteousness of God in our sin. We had only sin and rebellion and wrath and cursing and hatred for Him. You might say, well, I didn't hate God. Yes, you did. God's Word says you did. It says you were at enmity with Him. You hated Him. Well, but I've always been in church. It doesn't matter. You can be in church and hate God. Well, I've done all these things. It doesn't matter. You can do everything in the world and hate God. If you're in rebellion to God, you hate God. Or at least you're acting like you do. We had only cursing and wrath for Him. All we knew was how to run and hide from Him, even with our religion. How to try to rule over Him, you know, with our great will. But still, it was for us ungodly, sinful wretches that Christ died for. Saints, He is calling us to the same death. Will you give your life for sinners? Will you give your life for sinners? Sinners that mock and jeer you? Will you give your life for them sinners that talk behind your back and hate you? Will you give your life for them sinners that murder you with your tongue, with their tongue? Will you give your life for them? They might with their hands. But will you still give your life for them? Will you sacrifice your life, your rights, so-called, your desires, your affection, your wonderful name? Will you sacrifice that to follow your Lord and take up His death and die? If you will follow Him, if you will really be like Him, you must. You must give your life over and die for unworthy sinners. Now, I know I've given you a lot to think about this morning, but I want to reinforce what I'm saying to you by Scripture. You may be thinking, I've never heard anything like that. Shame on us preachers, if that's the case. What if I told you the Scripture is absolutely saturated with this truth? I'm sure most everyone here has read over the passages and you kind of gloss them over as you've read them. Because they're there, they're everywhere in the New Testament and in the Old as well. I'm going to give you some references. I'll read the verses for you. You take them down and go back and take a closer look at what I'm telling you. In Romans 6:6, and we'll be going there in a minute, but in Romans 6:6 it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You want to be free from sin this morning, child of God? I want to be free from sin. Does the sin in your life grieve you? Does it cause you to grieve before the God who bought you with His own blood? That you would yet sin against Him, that you would do it like that. I mean, you don't even have to think about sinning. It comes upon you. You know what I'm talking about if you're a child of God. Even in religion, even in prayer, sin comes upon you. It's ever there and it grieves. It doesn't grieve your heart. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from sin? You must die. That's what the verse just said. You must be crucified with Christ every day. Every day. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Are you Christ? Are you Christ-like? Are you a follower of Christ? Then it says, you have, crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, and we do, children of God, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Because we've crucified the flesh. Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and by that cross, by that death, I am crucified unto the world. I am crucified. Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know that's dying? That's dying. Listen, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. That's dying. That's dying. Dying to self. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Dying. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Dying. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's saying, let this mind be in you, die daily, even the death of Christ's cross. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's why he stands in jeopardy every hour. I die daily. I die daily. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. He's talking about the death of his cross. That's what he's talking about. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. There's the death of obedience. To the will of God. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. On the cross is what he's talking about. Leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Follow him. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Every point in the message is right there in that one verse. Every point. See, because of the gospel, we can die. And the thing about it is, you need to understand what this is teaching us is to follow Christ, to love Him, to serve Him, really, really. I'm not talking about just words. I'm not talking about just a religious act. I'm talking children of God, as servants of God. I'm pleading with you as servants of God, pleading with myself as a servant of God, as a follower of Christ, as someone who loves Christ, as someone who wants to honor this great God that has saved us by His grace. If we will really honor Him, if we will really serve Him and love Him, we must die. We must. And we can. Because of the gospel. We can. But will we? Will you? Will I? Will you die the death of Christ's cross? Will you die the death of obedience, of submission? Will you die the death of self-sacrifice? Will you die the death of substitution? Will you die to put away sin? Will you die for sinners? Oh, that God might give us the grace to die. Because there's one more point. There's one more aspect to this truth. Christ's death, it was a death of submission, of self-sacrifice, a death of substitution. It was a death to put away sin. It was a death for sinners. But His death was also the death of salvation. It was the death of salvation. Will you die the death of salvation? Look again at our text in Luke 9 and verse 23. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But now notice, but whosoever will lose his life, whosoever will die for My sake, the same shall save it. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ has not only saved our soul from sin and from hell, but He has also saved our life from meaningless futility. That's what He's done. I'm telling you, there are people all around us today, people all in churches all around us, but in the world as well, that are living a life of luxury, living a life of prestige, living in a life of position, a life of power, a life in influence, living the life that they've always dreamed of, working and striving, and putting all their effort into this life that they have envisioned in their head. They're living at the top of their world. They're living their life. Who will, in just a few days, be left in utter ruin. They will, in just a few days, be given over to the eternal judgment of God. But brothers and sisters, through the death of our Savior, this Jesus, the Christ that we have seen in Scripture this morning, brothers and sisters, children of God, we have been given eternal life, have we not? We have the hope of eternal life. But I want you to listen to what God's Word says about and reveals to us about eternal life in connection with this truth. Because it does. It connects them. We just read where it connected them. Listen, write these references down. John 12:25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. That's just what we read, right? Listen, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, the word hate doesn't mean they despise their life. It means that is not primary. Life in this world is not what they're living for. There's greater things that they're living for, greater aspirations that you have. It says that they shall keep it unto eternal life. Now listen, in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal. This is. I know we have our mind about what life eternal is so much of the time. It's on things and not on a person. Listen, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do you hear that? That they might know Thee. That they might know Thee. Identify with You. We could say even say follow You. That they might know You. And listen to Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul says, that I may know Him. That I may know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now, if you really want to get the understanding of what He's saying there, you read that backwards. You put those things in backwards. Being made conformable unto His death. Dying daily, you see. Oh, we want to know Christ, but whoa, wait a minute. I didn't think that was about dying. I thought that was about a prosperity. You know, we get with Him and we'll have everything that we might like to have. Depends what you like to have. Would you like to have Him? The greatest of all that there is? The most valuable possession? That creation and eternity and substance and everything, even past words, could possibly have? Would you like Him? If you would like to have Him, you can have Him. Listen. Listen to how you can have Him, to how you can know Him, to how you can follow Him. You'd be made conformable to His death. You die daily and you know the fellowship of His sufferings. You know the fellowship of His sufferings and then you experience the power of His resurrection. He that shall lose his life shall save it. That's how we will know Him. That's how we'll know Him. That's how we'll identify Him. We'll identify, we'll follow Him in His death. We'll experience His sufferings. But then, child of God, will know the power of His resurrection over the meaningless futility of even this life, let alone that which is to come. You'll find something that truly satisfying. I'm telling you, I've experienced some of it. I'm sure some of y'all are experiencing it now, reaching out, striving for the things in this world. Oh, if I just grab a hold of that, that's going to do it. That'd do me. And when you grab a hold of that, that never does it. Always more. Oh, well, I know that wasn't such a great decision, but I see this over here, and this is really going to satisfy me. Oh, if I just have this, this is it. This will fix it all. You grab a hold of that, and it was just as meaningless as what you grabbed over there. It's because you're grabbing for the wrong things. You're searching for the wrong things. Look to Christ. I'm telling you, there is satisfaction in Him. Even though these bodies war against that reality, you as a child of God have tasted that satisfaction. You have tasted and known that the Lord is good. You know He satisfies you. You know. You know what He meant when He said, he that drinks of Me, the water that I should give him should never thirst again. Oh, your flesh thirsts. It does, and still, when you let it get off track, when you don't die daily, it still go after them things and it puts you right back into that bondage that those things put you into every time. But even in the midst of that, that water of life still satisfies. You know the power of His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, we have eternal life. Will we live the life of sin or the life of salvation? Will we know and identify to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Our death, our taking up the death of the cross, the death of our Savior, is the only way that we can live the life of salvation. And that is the life that your Savior died to give you. We read that verse. He gives us more abundant life. That's what it's talking about. That's the life. Not just eternity. That's not when just when this life is over. That's right now as well. Life more abundantly. To have life more abundantly, you must die. You must die. Will you die to truly live? Will you? Well, church, now I'm nursing from really putting on you. You said you would. I said I would. I said that I would die, that I would gladly die to truly live. And so did you. Remember when you followed the Lord in baptism? There you said you would follow Him in His death. You did. Oh, for preachers to preach the reality of baptism. Look over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I'll read this passage as we close this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We are saved by grace. We didn't do anything to merit it at all. So being saved by grace, I mean, you know, sin's not that big a deal. If we're saved by grace, God forbid. Absolutely not. That's not dying. I'm going to tell you that's not dying. That's the direct opposite of it. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, see this. Know you not? You need to know this, is what he's saying. That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. That's what the baptism was all about. That's what it declared. That we were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as, or just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, this life that comes through death. We're saying, we said when we were baptized that that's what we were about. That we would gladly give our life, die the same way that Christ died, that we might have abundant life in Christ. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, not all of us have who have been baptized, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That's talking about present life here. Matter of fact, you know that by the next verse. Knowing this, that our old man, see this is present, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, present tense, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth, He liveth unto God. Now look at this. Likewise reckon, consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is, right there. Dead of ourselves unto sin, but alive unto God. What does a life look like that is alive unto God? Here's what it looks like. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. We're all holding on to these water bags that are our mortal body right now. That's what he's talking about. Let not sin reign there, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God Yield yourselves unto God. Present yourselves unto God every day. Present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid, absolutely not. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, the slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, children of God, we must die. But praise be to God, because of the gospel, I can die. I can. We can die Christ's death. The death of submission, of obedience. The death of self-sacrifice. The death of substitution. The death to put away sin. Death for sinners, and the death that leads to the glorious resurrection of life, the death of salvation. Christ said, if any man will follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and die. May the Lord bless the declaration of his word this morning. May he make it effectual to our hearts and lives today.